All right, so looks like we're diving deep into German labor law today.
That's fun.
Specifically, redundancy.
Okay.
And we've got this legal memo here.
Yeah.
And honestly, the first thing that jumps out at me is just how different things are in Germany compared to a
Yeah.
lot of other places
It's
when
true.
it comes to this whole thing.
Yeah, the way Germany handles redundancies is definitely unique.
Yeah.
There's a real emphasis on protecting employee rights, even when a company's downsizing.
Yeah, like this whole Works Council thing I keep seeing
Yeah.
everywhere in this memo.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, I'm not totally clear on what it is or how much power they actually have.
So think of a Works Council as a group of employees that are elected to represent
Okay.
everyone in the company when it comes to things like, you guessed it, redundancies.
Okay.
And they're not just there to listen, they have actual legal rights to weigh in on decisions. In some cases, the company can't move forward with layoffs without the Works Council's agreement.
Wait, so it's not just the employer deciding who stays and who goes.
Not exactly.
Huh.
In Germany, the law recognizes that employees have a stake in the company's future, so they get a say in these big decisions.
Interesting.
There are specific thresholds, of course.
Like what?
Like if a company with more than 20 employees wants to let go of, say, 10% of its workforce, the Works Council has to be involved.
That's a pretty significant level of protection for employees.
It
But
is.
doesn't this whole process
Yeah.
make things really slow and complicated for employers?
It can.
Yeah.
There's a mandatory reconciliation of interests process where the company has to negotiate with the Works Council before making any final decisions.
Okay.
This can take months, sometimes even up to 6 months, to hammer everything out.
6 months. I can see how that could be frustrating for a company trying to move quickly.
Yeah.
What happens if the employer just ignores the Works Council and goes ahead with layoffs anyway?
Let's just say that's not a good idea.
Okay.
The fines can be huge, and they might even have to pay the laid-off employees up to 18 months of salary as compensation.
Wow.
It's definitely in the company's best interest to work with the Works Council.
So there's a real incentive for everyone to cooperate.
There is.
What about the employees themselves? What kind of support do they get during this whole process?
That's where the social plan comes in.
Okay.
It's like a safety net designed to help employees land on their feet. This is where severance payments come into play, but it's not just about handing people a check and saying goodbye.
It sounds like it's more comprehensive than that.
It is.
Okay.
The social plan can include things like helping people find new jobs, providing training for new skills, even offering financial advice.
Wow.
It's all about mitigating the impact of job loss.
So they're not just losing their jobs, they're getting help transitioning to something new.
Right.
This memo also mentions something called a transfer company.
Yes.
What's that all about?
It's a really interesting concept.
Okay.
Imagine like a bridge between jobs.
Really?
A transfer company is basically a separate entity that provides training and job search support specifically for employees who've been laid off. What's fascinating is that the government and the former employer both contribute funding for these transfer companies.
That's a pretty big commitment to helping people get back on their feet.
It is.
So the employer benefits by avoiding lawsuits,
Right.
and the employees get support finding new opportunities. It
Exactly.
seems like everyone wins in that scenario.
Exactly. And this ties into the broader idea that in Germany, work isn't just a transaction. There's an understanding that employers have a responsibility to their employees even when they have to let them go.
It's a very different approach than what we see in a lot of other countries.
It
So
is.
we've got these works councils,
Yeah.
social plans, transfer companies. It seems like a very collaborative approach to handling redundancies.
It is.
Okay.
But even with all this emphasis on collective bargaining and agreement, individual employees still have rights and protections under the law.
Okay, so even with all these systems in place, an employee can still say, "Hold on a minute, this isn't right."
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's where things get even more interesting. So in Germany, even if the company and the Works Council agree, on a social plan,
Yeah.
each employee still has the right to challenge their dismissal in court.
So it's not like they sign away their individual rights just because the Works Council approves something.
Nope, not at all. German law takes individual employee rights very seriously. They want to make sure everything is done fairly, even in a redundancy situation.
What are some of the things an employer has to do to make sure a dismissal is legal?
There are quite a few steps.
Okay.
For instance, they have to notify the labor office, especially if it's a larger scale layoff.
I guess that makes sense. It gives the government a heads up and allows them to offer support to the people losing their jobs.
Right. And then there's the whole issue of notice periods.
Okay.
These are legally mandated, and they depend on how long the employee has been with the company. Someone with 2 years at the company might only get a month's notice.
Okay.
But someone with 15 years could be looking at 6 months.
Wow, 6 months. That's a pretty big difference.
It is.
Yeah.
And during that notice period, the employer still has to pay the employee's salary even if they're not actively working.
That definitely gives people some breathing room to figure out their next steps.
It does.
Are there any special protections for people who might be more vulnerable, like pregnant women or someone with a disability?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The law is very clear that you can't just let those employees go without getting approval from the government first.
Okay.
It's an extra layer of protection to make sure no one is being unfairly targeted.
That seems fair. Okay. What about the reasons for letting someone go?
Right.
Can a company just dismiss an employee without a good reason?
Not at all.
Okay.
They have to have a solid justification, usually something related to the business itself, like restructuring or downsizing.
So no randomly firing someone because you don't like their taste in music?
Mm-hmm. Definitely not. And they also have to prove that there's no other position within the company that the employee could fill.
Uh-huh.
They can't just get rid of someone without exploring other options first.
The memo also mentioned something called the social factor test.
Uh-huh.
What is that all about?
It's actually a really interesting concept.
Okay.
When deciding which employees to let go, employers have to consider things like age, seniority, family responsibilities, and whether someone has a disability.
So it's not just about performance.
Nope. It forces employers to think about the human side of things and make sure they're not disproportionately impacting certain groups.
That seems like it could get pretty complicated.
It can.
Yeah.
Let's say you have two employees with similar skills, but one is older and has a family to support, while the other is younger and single. The employer would have to take those social factors into account when deciding who stays and who goes.
So it's about making the most responsible decision, considering all the different angles.
Exactly. And it adds a layer of ethical consideration to the whole process.
Okay. With all these legal complexities, I'm guessing there are a lot of cases where things end up in court.
You'd think so.
Yeah.
But actually, a lot of employers prefer to settle out of court.
Why is that?
Well, court cases can be expensive and time-consuming, and there's always the risk of losing.
Right.
It's often easier and less risky for the employer to just negotiate a settlement with the employee directly.
So it's a way to avoid a long, drawn-out legal battle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for the employee, it usually means getting a bigger severance package than they would have gotten through the original social plan.
Oh, wow.
It's a compromise that often works out better for both sides.
It's fascinating how the German system manages to balance the needs of the company with the rights of the individual employees.
It really does. And this whole approach to redundancy reflects a broader societal value in Germany.
Okay.
Work isn't just a contract. It's a relationship that deserves respect and protection, even when it comes to an end.
So we've talked about how companies and works councils negotiate these social plans.
Right.
And we've talked about the individual rights of employees.
Yes.
Is there anything else we should touch on before wrapping things up?
There's one more element that's worth exploring, the role of trade unions in all of this.
Okay, so not just the works councils, but the unions are involved too.
Exactly. While works councils are focused on what happens within a specific company, trade unions operate on a much larger scale, advocating for workers across entire industries.
So what's their role in redundancy situations?
Historically, German trade unions haven't been directly involved in company-level negotiations over redundancies. That was seen as the domain of the works councils.
But that seems to be changing based on this memo.
It is. In recent years, unions have started using a new tactic.
Okay.
They're leveraging their power to call strikes as a way to pressure companies into offering better redundancy packages.
So they're using their collective bargaining muscle to improve the conditions for employees who are being laid off.
Exactly. And it's been surprisingly effective.
Really?
There's been several high-profile cases where unions have successfully used strikes to force companies to sweeten the deal for their departing workers.
That's a pretty big shift. So even though works councils can't call for strikes themselves,
right,
the unions can step in and use that leverage to advocate for better redundancy terms.
Precisely. And the courts have actually upheld the legality of this tactic.
Wow.
Recognizing that social plans can be negotiated as part of broader collective bargaining agreements.
It sounds like a pretty powerful tool for unions to have in their arsenal.
It is.
So even in a system that already provides a lot of protection for employees,
yeah,
there's still room for unions to push for even better conditions.
Absolutely. And this evolving role of trade unions just goes to show how dynamic and responsive the German labor relations system can be.
This deep dive has been incredibly insightful.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much thought and care has gone into creating a system that protects workers during what can be a very difficult time.
It really is a model worth studying, but it also raises some interesting questions.
Like what?
For example, does this level of employee protection come at a cost to companies, potentially making them less competitive in the global marketplace?
That's a great question, and it's something to ponder as we wrap up this deep dive into the fascinating world of German redundancy law.
It is.
What struck you as the most surprising or thought-provoking aspect of all this?
For me, it's the recognition that even in a situation where jobs are being lost, there's still a responsibility to treat people fairly and with dignity.
Wow.
The German system might seem complex, but at its heart, it's about ensuring that people aren't just discarded when they're no longer needed.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing the value of human capital, even in challenging economic times.
Yeah, it's really striking how the German system sees redundancy,
right,
as something that needs to be managed carefully,
mm-hmm,
not just from a financial perspective, but also from a social one.
Right. It's almost like they've built in shock absorbers, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
To soften the blow for everyone involved. Yeah.
They've got the works councils, the social plans, the transfer companies,
right,
even the unions stepping in to make sure employees are treated fairly.
Yeah. And you can't forget the government's role in all of this, providing funding and oversight to make sure the system works as intended. It's a very different approach,
yeah,
than the every man for himself mentality you see in some other places.
Definitely makes you wonder if other countries could learn something from the German model.
Right.
Of course, every country has its own unique,
yeah,
economic and social context. So what works in Germany might not translate perfectly elsewhere.
That's true. But even if you can't just copy and paste the entire system,
right,
there might be individual elements that could be adapted or incorporated into other labor laws.
Absolutely. For example, the concept of a social plan,
mm-hmm,
where companies are obligated to provide more than just a severance package.
Okay.
Could be a valuable addition to many labor markets.
Or even just the idea of giving employees a stronger voice in the process through something like a works council. Right, because at the end of the day, redundancy isn't just about numbers on a balance sheet. It's about people's lives, their livelihoods, their families.
Well said. This deep dive has been a real eye-opener. It's given us a lot to think about, not just in terms of German labor law, but also the broader question of how societies can balance the needs of businesses with the well-being of their workers.
It's a complex issue, but I think the German approach offers some valuable insights and potential solutions. And for you listening, it's a reminder that there are different ways of approaching these challenges as the world of work continues to evolve. It's worth considering how we can create systems that are both fair and effective, protecting workers while allowing businesses to thrive.
It's all about finding that sweet spot where everyone benefits. Yeah. And maybe, just maybe, the German experience can point us in the right direction. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll see you next time.